welcome to Sgrovecast, the English language Sgrov Cabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And it's better late than never.
It is better late than never. It's been a while, eh?
It's been a while. Was it Stained, I think that was, wasn't it?
I don't know.
The sort of Nickelback adjacent sort of...
shite.
Yeah, shite. Absolutely yeah. Shite. Not Canadian, though, I don't think. If you know anything about Stained, sbrovcast@gmail.com. But yeah, it's been,
I never darken our door again.
We are, we're not the most professional podcast. We're not the most dedicated podcast.
Has it taken you this long to work this out, listener?
How many years has it been now?
Eight.
Eight long years. That's longer than you'll spend in a high school or a university, usually.
Yes, but you'll learn far...
Fucking nothing.
...less here.
Sprovka Brno, they still exist.
Yes. What you will learn is what happened in four games
yeah.
that we have not reported back to you from since.
I remembered three, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah. We've also got, because there are no previews, we've got Hodnia quizzes.
Hodnia, by that you mean two. Two quizzes. Two quizzes. We'll have a quick scoot around everything else, I think.
Yep, and we've got a brand new section called Ange Watch.
Of course we do, yes.
Ange Watch, in which we catch up on our favourite centre-half in the English non-league.
Absolutely.
So all that to look forward to, right after the thing that comes after this bit of music now. Hello. So we're going to do Vlašim and Kroměříž back to back because neither of us went to Vlašim.
No, because it was on a Sunday and yeah.
And yeah.
Vlašim's not the easiest place to get back from, so you have to drive.
Yeah.
And I don't have I don't have a car. I don't know how to drive either.
Yeah. But hey, Ben.
Yes, congratulations, Ben,
on passing your driving test.
It
might be your turn next to do a driving to a difficult away game. Anyway,
cannot wait.
Yeah. Vlašim 0, FC Sbrovka Brno 1. Another away game, another 1-0 win.
Great.
Yes. From what I saw, it was a general shortage of quality in one of the second leaguers' classic tough places to go. I'm not sure why that's true. It just feels like a tough place to go, mainly because it's a tough place to get to.
Yeah.
And they've always just been like a slightly cloggily annoying fifth place team.
Bobbly pitch.
Yes.
Yeah, not so much atmosphere. Though, I mean, it took a good support. We've been taking, you know, that's a theme
yes.
this season.
Yeah,
we've been taking
yeah.
a good support everywhere because obviously the team is winning. Place that we haven't... I mean, a place that we've sort of got by, like the one that springs to mind, obviously, is the time where we went there,
yeah.
where I think the word scraped is generous. We scraped a 2-2 draw. But yeah, so you can't really complain about these things. I am waffling because I forgot that we had this match to cover.
That's okay. We're going to do two of these in one. Like I said, very windy conditions make few chances in the first half. Each team struck the post once. Yuroshka hit the bar on 49. No, each team struck the post once in the first half. Yeah, then Yuroshka hit the bar on 49 with a rasping shot, but it was Kaká steaming up the pitch from left back, who got on the end of Yuroshka's cross, heading it in off the underside mm-hmm. of the bar, past a flailing Kudelčík, little pool ball. No, that's no. Not quite, but you know, close enough. In one way or another, this is the only interesting statistic from this game.
Okay, good.
The frame of the goal was hit 6 times.
That's quite good, actually.
Probably the most interesting stat in what I can only describe as a game of attrition. You can sort of tell that because the official Sbrovka match report ends with the words, quote, "That's all that happened in Vlašim." And then follows up with Sbrovka won 1-0 and remain at the top of the league table with a 3-point lead.
Six times.
There you go.
6 times.
Yes.
You've been framed more than Jeremy Beadle.
Yeah.
That's one for the older listeners.
Little
hand.
Yeah. I guess you have nothing more on that, really.
No, I forgot the game existed.
No, well, there we go.
It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah, however, that 3-point lead became a 5-point lead when we were visited by a Kroměříž side that I want to refer to as hapless, but still yeah. managed to score 2 goals.
Yes.
Against us. So there was more hap than we thought
yeah.
there was going to be.
I mean, I think the fun of this game right, is that, I mean, yeah, okay, you know, we I think that we basically dismantled Kromě Rzyż over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that you would be a fool to think that any other team was, you know, going to win this than Zbrojovka. However, both of Kromě Rzyż's goals, better than anything we scored.
Yes, in a way.
I've got two words for you, David.
Philip Mucha. Your friend and mine, yes. Now, here's something we talked about when we were at the game, and which is my sort of first paragraph here. We said, like, we conceded two goals, and they were both... Okay, I thought they were sloppy ones. The second one was...
The second one...
The first one was actually quite a neat finish.
Yeah. Who else but...
Who else but Philippe Jacques, who we will come back to. But we said that when we were there, these sloppy ones, like ones and twos that we concede at home might just be a consequence of defenders having nothing to do, which shouldn't be the case, yeah. Of course. They are professional footballers who have a job to do. However, our best defensive displays, Usti away, Vlashim away, Opova at home... are three in which we didn't concede a single goal and were backed to the wall a lot of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there is a theme coming through here. We do lose sloppy ones and twos of goals.
Due to, can I say it? Can I say it? Swashbuckling offensive effort by the lads.
Yes. And, you know, Adam Hrdina, who is still only 21, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe not covering himself in glory.
He should have saved the second one.
Yes. However, he can be forgiven because he has the reflexes of a cat when he needs to now and again.
And
so.
he's by far our best.
Oh my god, yes.
Goalkeeper. More on that later.
Yeah. Anyway, five different goal scorers.
Yes.
Rymarenko, Chavosh.
A real potpourri of scorers.
Velich, Kaká, and Vacholček from every part of the pitch, midfield, defence, up front. Lovely stuff. A generally satisfying afternoon out. Rymarenko starts things off with a penalty before we get a double whammy of idiocy from Philip Mucha.
Yes.
And I think he said when you were there, Mucha, that's one Slav who is not epic today.
Yeah, I'll take that one. watching it back... several times. It's not as bad as I thought it was at the time.
Still pretty ropey though.
Oh no, I've used the word waddles in my sort of a recap notes here, because it's so interesting how two defenders apparently cannot stop Patrick Chavos sort of like getting the ball, controlling it and sort of getting it through. You know, and then Mucha tries to meet this by again waddling out and he doesn't commit.
No, despite the fact it's Chavos sort of shouldering people aside, but still sort of shuffling across the goal.
Yeah.
And Mucha just watching it.
He's not shuffling quickly.
And then once Chavos is passed and the ball's gone in, dropping to his knees, looking distraught.
This is the thing about Mucha, right? Because Mucha, I think, understands the mechanics of goalkeeping, but can't actually do it himself. So what he does, right, if Patrick Chavos and you are 5 yards out of the goal, right, or more, let's say, then absolutely, yeah, try and sort of stand him up sort of like that as well. It's like, you are about 2 feet from the goal line or whatever. Just commit to it.
Yeah.
Just get on your arse. Like, you know, sometimes you'll get it wrong and then, you know, he goes over and you concede a penalty. It's better than conceding a goal.
Yeah, yeah. Just
when you're a goal down.
Yeah, just flop
after 10 minutes.
Just flop on your side and block the ball. That's like, just get any part of your body in the way.
Just
of it.
Flop on your side and block the ball. Is that straight from the tactics thing of Football Manager? Is that the thing? Yeah, yeah.
Well,
set it to flop.
You know, he just, it's almost in slow motion. He just sort of, yeah, as you said, shuffles to the side, watches Chavos walk past him. The ball goes in, and he goes, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have done something.
But this is the classic goalkeeper thing, though. The classic goalkeeper down on your knees or hands in the air to some sort of god, as if it couldn't have been me that fucked this up. Shocking.
Anyway.
I'll let you go on, David. I've basically got four words for the next bit, which is just third goal is worse.
Yeah. So Mucha then proceeds to help Chavosh's great first half, in which he scores one and assists one from a deep midfield role. Even more, as Vacholsek sends Chavosh through onside, who sees big Oli Velek to his right onside,
yeah,
and squares the ball to him. However, before he squares the ball, Mucha has already gone down, anticipating Chavosh shooting. So he made the decision for Chavosh. Chavosh was like, was sort of wandering towards the goal, having broken the offside trap, and Mucha just collapses to the ground,
yeah,
meaning Chavosh can just go, well, yeah, Velik's there. I'm just going to square the ball to him. Incredible.
How, you know, just generally, like, I mean, how many times were Zbrojovka able to effectively split the defence against Kromjagić? Quite a lot. It was, I think I counted 3 or 4 times that it happened. I mean, that was the one that sort of led to a goal. But if you think about Zbrojovka historically, let's cast our minds back maybe 8 or 9 seasons ago, right? For where that was our only tactic, it seemed, for a while, and never once did it actually work. It's crazy how things change.
Yeah. A very satisfying first half, generally only pulled up by Philip Jacques. Works in civil service. Philip Jacques. He's scoring for Kromjagić.
Philip Jacques.
Pulls one back on 35. Lipjak with a really neat volley through a crowd of players.
Oh, lovely little finish.
From a Niemacek cross.
I mean, he's the only person that does anything for that team right now.
It's 3-1 at the break.
Yeah.
Start of the second period, Vacholsek slams a volley just wide and Kaká brings a good save out of Mucha. Actually,
it's a nice header, isn't it?
It's a decent save as well, actually, to be fair. Mucha to his left.
But that's the thing about Mucha, though. Like, I think we also said this at the time.
Reactive, Philip not Mucha, proactive.
Philip Mucha will give you a couple of good saves a match, but it's the stuff that he does outside of that that he will always sort of give you a howler. It's like a classic sort of backhanded criticism of a goalkeeper, which is
he's a good shot stopper. Not your only job, though. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's only a matter of time, really. And on the hour, Kaká does score an almost identical goal to the one against Flashing across dugout on the far side. And he comes crashing in at the far post, all limbs and fury.
This might be my favourite one because every single person, including half of our team, thinks that it's a really good initial cross. It sort of flashes, you know, sort of goal. And everyone thinks it's going out for a goal kick.
Except Philip Blecher, weirdly.
who chases it or whatever. And then it's actually an easy goal. It's a good technique, obviously, like to get the ball to the back post for Kaká to nod home. But it's very much a nod home sort of thing because every single other person is just ball watching.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Kromjagić then, like, the game sort of peters out, but Kromjagić make it 4-2 in the 93rd with a neat move on the edge of the area, ending with Hrdina being beaten at his near post. Very poor, honestly. Like, either he doesn't see it or his positioning's all out of kilter, and he sort of flaps a hand at it, and that's a poor goal to concede.
Yeah.
But Vacholsek makes it 5 almost immediately. His volley hilariously bouncing into the ground and then over Mucha, who is in mid dive, which just really is the icing on the cake.
Yeah. And that was it.
The fly in the ointment. Yeah.
And that was it, because after that goal was scored, he whistled. I don't think there was even a kickoff after that. It was just that's that. You know?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Because even in that second one, there was no thoughts of it being like...
No, absolutely not, no.
Them getting another quick one to make it some sort of grandstand finish. Yeah. No, I mean, we were by far the best team on the day.
Yes.
And that's obviously because we have... I mean, A, we're at home and we have a better squad and we're playing better and Kromjagić are bottom. So if that, you know... So I guess it's sort of what do you expect, but also it's always nice to see a team your team when you put a few past past aside.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, 5 different goal scorers, a bit of swagger about the gaff. Yeah, really nice, really good. Should we have some hot or not?
Sure.
It's time for Hot or Not.
Yes.
Hooray. One each?
One each.
Right. I have a feeling I know what your hot's going
to
be.
Yes, I'm leaving that to the end.
Yeah, so...
Because also, I will speak, David, for 15 minutes.
I'm sure you will. I'm going with a hot first, and it is Zoran Mamdani.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
Because he is now the mayor.
Well, yes, that's one thing, but it's a more football-related thing.
He has been spotted wearing Ipswich Town's European Cup winner's retro shirt.
You're sort of close. He's a shareholder in Real Oviedo.
Oh, really?
Yes. In 2012, Real Oviedo were on the verge of going under, so made ownership of the club public to raise money. And a 21-year-old Mamdani bought a few shares so he could be, and I think he tweeted, "I'm the only Real Oviedo shareholder in Maine." It's like, listen, fair play.
Fair play.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, hashtag loves his football, as we know. So, you know, Arsenal fan, but we can forgive him that. Of course. So, yeah. Anyway, that was my hot.
Okay, I've got a not then. And it's the decisions of two Irish supporters in a tattoo parlor in Budapest.
Good.
So you've seen this, presumably.
No.
Oh, okay. So... this is sort of a not disguised as a hot as well, because I think for all the stuff that we moan about the international break, the last few international breaks have been unbelievable in a lot of ways. And one of the even less believable things was a stunning run of two results by the Republic of Ireland football team, with one man in particular right at the heart of it, Troy Parrott.
Troy Popolchek.
Troy Parrott, who had, you know, obviously... last kick of the ball against Hungary to send Republic of Ireland into a playoff where they looked absolutely buried for most of this campaign. So obviously, he had about 5,000 pissed up Irish fans in Budapest, and we know firsthand that it's a good night out, Budapest as well. So two Irish fans ended up getting very drunk and getting matching tattoos which say pecked by the parrot. One problem here, parrot is spelt without the extra T and it's not capitalized. So they've just got pecked by the parrot as if there is a parrot somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very good.
Incredible. Good.
I'm sure they don't care that much though.
That's wild. My not
they
is,
are wild usually. It,
yes. I saw some up trees in Malaga. Little green lads.
Troy Parrott, he can also talk.
My not is Gennaro Gattuso.
What's he done now?
Well, with Italy only making it to the playoffs of the World Cup, he's been blathering on about the fact that there are too many non-European places for a, checks notes, 48-team World Cup. Quote, In my day, the best group runners-up went straight to the World Cup. Now the rules have changed. To change the rules, you need to tell those who organise these tournaments... Italy's record of 6 wins in qualifying, you'd have to ask the people who make the groups and the rules. In 1990 and 1994, there were 2 African teams. Now there are 9. It's not a controversy, but there are difficulties. he says, bringing up controversy immediately. He continues, if we look at South America, where 6 out of the 10 teams go direct into the World Cup and the 7th heads to a playoff with a team from Oceania, that does give you regrets and a certain sadness.
Yeah. Have you tried just winning playoffs?
Have you tried just being a better manager?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I... It's not like you're often coming up, well, this will be seeded Italy in the playoffs as well. Well, we all know what's happened to seeded Italy last time against Czech's notes North Macedonia. So.
Yeah. The other thing is that if you actually look at the numbers, FIFA ranking versus how many places respective countries get, Europe is still by far, has more places than it should have.
Absolutely.
By FIFA ranking. Yeah. It's just that Italy have been shit for 10 years.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Gennaro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a grip.
Hun.
Hun. Eyes a hun. Eyes a hun. Yeah.
All right. There we go. Right. Take
a wild fucking guess what my hot is, David.
Shall I sit back?
Okay, listener, this will be no surprise to you either. My hot, David, is Scotland 4, Denmark 2, which happened last night.
Shoot! Shoot!
Shoot!
Shoot! Shoot!
He did shoot. stunned. In disbelief was essentially what I sort of happened last night. The way that I can sum up Scotland and sum up Scotland's qualifying campaign was actually a tweet I saw, where Scotland are now the Republic of Ireland of about 10 to 12 years ago, where we're qualifying for things by being the luckiest team in Europe. Because basically what happened last night was, well, a lot of things happened last night, but the Cliff's Notes of it were that Scotland were bullied for about 80 minutes and somehow still won. Bullied by a team that were playing over half an hour with 10 men.
Yes.
However, there were certain highlights in this game. Starting in the third minute, of course, with Scott McTominay,
dear me,
like a giraffe, it seems, with the overhead kick.
Yes.
And it's from
incredible, incredible hit.
Mental. Like, when you see the photos and you just realise how high he is, like, how high he's had to get up to make that happen. It's stunning. And then what happens...
Italy's been good for him.
It absolutely
has. I just want to say.
Yeah. And then, you know, following that immediately is about 40 minutes of the most miserable football you'll ever see, where Scotland forget that midfields exist. Gannon Doak goes off. Denmark have one in the net, which is ruled for, rightly so, for a foul. And then we get to the second half, where about 10 minutes in, we concede a penalty. Now, this is a very contentious penalty, I think, because I think it is a foul. I don't think it's in the box, but VAR VAR'd it. This foul, by the way, was not actually blown for a foul during the match. They went back to look at it, and obviously Hoyland equalises. And the momentum and the way that it's going, you sit back and you go, well, that's that. Well, we gave it a try. Glorious failure is, you know, part of the Scottish DNA usually. So, and then 4 minutes later, Christensen gets sent off for a second yellow, which is absolutely not a yellow in a million years. It's barely even a foul. And then what happens is that you then have about 20 minutes of Scotland being camped in their own half, getting outplayed by 10 men.
Mm.
Up pops Lawrence Shanklin. Say up pops when he bundles it over the line.
You can up pop if it's against the run of play, I think.
And then it was from a corner, right? And then he gets a touch, and then to send Scotland into dreamland,
into raptures
for 3 minutes. For 3 minutes, where again we forget how to defend. Dorgu, who's had a great game up to this point, ends up equalising for Denmark, and then it looks like, well, we've got the playoffs at least.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the playoffs. It's not all been a bad campaign. Well, it's not been all bad. Scotland have played generally very unattractive, poor football for most of this qualifying campaign, with certain exceptions. Like, you'll take a stuffy 0-0 at Parken, you know, away.
Sure, yeah.
And things like this. But, I mean, going 3-0 down in an hour to, like, Greece before and then trying to rally, it's all this sort of stuff. Good against Belarus, but I mean, you're supposed to be good against a team that I think are 105th in the world. And then, oh my God, the 93rd minute, Kieran Tierney with one of the greatest hits you'll see in a Scotland shirt.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm
speechless. It's no Philippe Jacques, but it's close.
just an unbelievable strike.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And then what happens after this is that the referee, who's had a very bad second half in my view, decides to keep running. It keeps running. It keeps running. It keeps running. And we seem to have gone about 3 minutes at this point over what was said as the time, you know, added on, which was going to be 6 minutes. And obviously the pressing and you know, Denmark are pressing it back into it, and everyone in Hampden is screaming, just hold on to the ball, take it to the corner or whatever. Ball pops loose. Kasper Schmeichel's off his line. Kenny McLean looks up. thinks about it, then just goes, fuck it, while everyone just goes, shoot, and scores basically the identical goal that we conceded by Patrick Schick.
I was going to say, on the...
in the Euros.
On the group chat, all I saw was you in all caps going, fuck off, Patrick Schick!
I'd lost the run of myself at this point. And that was that, basically. Mm. Scotland 4, Denmark 2. Scotland are going to their first World Cup final since 1998, when I was 9 years old. Genuinely, even with the expansion, never thought that we would get to this stage again. And then this whole outpouring afterwards of joy was possibly better than when we got to the Euros that time with the Serbia shootout. Like, you had people like... people are beside themselves. People were delirious. One of the, you know, greatest things that you'll see, which will get you right in the feels, etc., is after the interview with Andy Robertson, straight afterwards, where he's going, I was just thinking about me and Diogo Jota not making the World Cup last time because he was injured and Scotland didn't come. And that's been in my head all day, my mate. And he's looking at and all this sort of stuff. And he's just losing it there.
Yeah.
And then John McGinn, who basically his opening gambit was, I thought we were rubbish, but I don't care now. who also missed the... he also missed the dressing room fun and games after the match because he got randomly selected for a drugs test.
No.
Good. Yeah. But it's... I mean, you had, you know, as grown men in tears sort of stuff and things like that, because, like, for a lot of people, especially, like, some of the older generations, or sort of my generation onwards and stuff like that, just didn't think we'd ever get to this again.
Yeah.
So I cannot wait to lose 3-0 to Curaçao.
Yeah. You say you've got a quiz for me that has to come directly after Hot or Not.
I do, David.
Right. Before we do that, would you like to select... We're going to do this for the first time ever. Would you like to select a Scotland World Cup anthem partly to play us into the next section?
Sure.
Which would it be?
It would be Big Country in a Big Country.
Okay, let's have a bit of that and then we'll have a quiz.
David, it's a short quiz.
Okay. My, what an introduction.
It's a short quiz. Confusingly, it's six questions rather than rather than traditional five. I think probably what happened earlier on is I was writing this in work and then some other task that I was supposed to do money happened. So you are getting six questions on the World Cup qualifying campaign.
Oh God. Okay, fine.
I'm confident in your... This is reasonably friendly, right, David.
Fine.
So, okay, good. You've got a chance of every single one of these. Okay. Easier than you think. Right. So far, because obviously we've got playoffs to come and so on, three teams will be making their debut at World Cup 2026. Can you name me every three?
Curaçao.
Yes.
Cap Verde.
Yes.
And... either Jordan or Uzbekistan, I think.
What are you going for?
Uzbekistan.
Yes, which would make a lot of sense, right, as well, because obviously Uzbekistan was part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jordan, I don't have this written down. Jordan, I think, qualified in like 82 or something like this?
I don't know.
But Cape Verde, Curaçao, Uzbekistan. In the UEFA qualifying, two teams can boast a 100% perfect record, having lost none of their matches and won all of them. Which teams were they?
England.
Of course.
And... Ooh.
I can give you one more clue as well.
Yeah, go on then.
This is these were the opponents of Scotland's last ever World Cup match.
Oh, Norway.
Norway, yeah. Erling Haaland being the leading goal scorer.
Yeah. I should have got that because they finished top of Italy's group, which Gennaro Gattuso complained about, yes.
Putting 11 past Moldova.
and also needing Italy to win 10-0 to overturn the deficit after they battered them, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, here's another one that you'll get if you think about it. I feel, who is the top goal scorer in OFC qualification with 9 goals? OFC being Oceania.
There are no big... The only big nation left in Oceania is New Zealand, so I'm going to say Chris Wood.
It is Chris Wood. Well played, yeah. Big doing a lot of work there. All right. Due to their disgraceful involvement in the war in Ukraine, Belarus played all their home matches in a different country behind closed doors during this campaign. Which country?
I'm going to say it's not Poland. Or is it Poland?
It's not Poland. Ukraine have done that.
Yes, because Belarus would have been... That would have been controversial. Poland would not have let them do that. Are they in, like, Moldova or somewhere, weirdly?
You're not a million miles away, but think, like, democratic backsliding.
Okay.
I don't know if it helps you, but obviously Belarus were in Scotland's group as well.
That doesn't help.
It wasn't Scotland. East Kilbride. Kay Park Arena.
No, my geopolitics is going to fail me here.
They played in Hungary.
That makes sense. Actually, yes.
Right. Two more to go.
Yeah.
Which former St. Mirren player was joint top goal scorer in the CONCACAF region?
Former St. Mirren player.
Former St. Mirren player. 10 appearances for St. Mirren.
Oh, Christ.
You will get a clue if you struggle in this one.
Is he Jamaican?
He is not.
He's not Jamaican.
Rest in peace, Steve McLaren.
Thanks for here, boys. Or whatever he said at his, you know, quitting ceremony.
Quitting ceremony.
That's the title of the episode, by the way.
Quitting ceremony.
Quitting ceremony. Trinidadian?
No, I'm going to...
Am I just
going
to keep guessing islands?
I'm going to tell you the question again, adding in another detail.
Go on, then.
Which former St. Mirren and Coventry City player was joint top goal scorer in the CONCACAF region?
Oh, was it the Duck?
Duckins Nazwan. Yes. There we go. I thought putting Coventry City in the first time would be a bit too easy. So, and we round off trying to do everything.
No, because I'd have gone for Stern John.
Wheeling out Stern John. No, Sternum John these days. Okay, so which African country will play in the Intercontinental Playoffs? It's a two-parter. And which year was their only previous World Cup finals appearance?
Is it Zaire? No.
Zaire doesn't exist as a country
anymore.
Yes,
I know. That's why.
What is Zaire now then?
It is
Democratic Republic of the Congo. Formerly known as Zaire. Can you tell me when Zaire were in the World Cup?
19...
Oh, he's warm.
Yeah. Oh,
1982? 1974.
Oh,
74. Because who were they playing in that World Cup group stage?
Argentina, they played. And...
Scotland, yes.
Right, fine.
There was also... I didn't look this up. I'm just freewheeling here. But was it not the Zaire team that also had that hilarious... Was it maybe against Brazil or something like that? Where they just rammed and just booted the ball when it wasn't his free kick.
Yes, which was generally seen as, ha-ha, African people don't know how to play football, but it was a political protest. In that, I think... I'm I may be very wrong about the details here, but basically, they wanted it to be, basically they wanted to be noticed,
mm-hmm.
because they either were not going to, they were either going to be exiled or they were going to be not be paid or jailed or something upon their return. There was some horrendous political situation,
which was most of Zaire, yeah, to be honest.
Which so basically they had this chance to do something big on TV to get themselves noticed, and they decided this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a brief break to check these facts. What are the facts? Am I talking out my arse?
The free kick incident.
Yes.
I am just going to read it. So, in the late 60s and early 70s, Zairean dictator Mobutu Sese Seko invested heavily in the national football team. It led to continental success, with Zaire winning AFCON in 68 and March 74, three months before the World Cup appearance. After qualifying, the players were each given a car and a house by Mobutu. Disastrous displays of the Zaire national team were put into a new light in a notable 2002 interview with Defender, and I apologise to anyone from this part of the world, Mwepu Ilunga. According to him, they were informed that they would not be paid after their initial 2-0 defeat against Scotland. This led to the Zairean players refusing to play. Even though they were persuaded to show up against Yugoslavia, they were unmotivated and lost 9-0, one of the highest defeats in FIFA World Cup history. After the match, this is a quote, Mobutu sent his presidential guards to threaten us. They closed the hotel to all journalists and said, if we lost 4-0 to Brazil, none of us would be able to return home. They lost the match 3-0.
Yeah. So, yes, you know, unsavoury geopolitics in the World Cup. Who'd have thought that would be relevant coming up to the 2026 World Cup? Mm. Hey, there we go. Yeah.
Mbongo, Mbongo, they drink it in Zaire.
Jesus. Anyway, shall we get back on the Czech football?
Oh, I suppose
we
should.
We've got two more games to talk about after this. Anyway, Sparta B 0, Zbrojovka B 3.
Yes.
And Vacholček is the star here, finishing the first half of the season as Zbrojovka's top scorer. A remarkable achievement, seeing as he didn't start a game until we were 8 games in.
Yeah.
Versus Žižkov at the same ground in which he scores 2 here.
He loves the Stadion Viktorka, doesn't he?
He does. Rymarenko opens the scoring, and after wondering how we were going to fit all the forwards into the side, it turns out that our actually first choice front three now is Rymarenko, Velich and Vacholček, mm-hmm. all starting. With big Oli, your classic nine, and the two other slightly wider forwards and drifting inside. It's a 4-3-3, really, and the thing that has come out most of how we play from the first half of the season is the width from the fullbacks
mm-hmm.
is so important. We've got assists from Juroška, Klima, Granechny, we've got goals from Kaká, we've got a couple from Juroška and Klima themselves. They've been so key.
Yeah.
Like, that formation, it was a little bit, you know, there was a bit of jiggery-pokery early on, but that, like, 4-3-3 with a kind of wide defensively, narrow offensively front three and the fullbacks coming up is... has just been working so well. And it was 2-0 to the good guys at halftime, and we never really looked not in control, honestly.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I mean, I basically... what I have written down here was Sparta B had chances, but the point is that Zbrojovka were pretty much able to handle everything that was thrown at them. And, you know, before even the deadlock is broken, there's about 3 gilt-edged chances where could have been several goals to the good. Really, so actually, you know, I only really, you know, watched the highlights again, of course. I only really saw the second half of this game. And the second half was just, I think you probably said this in the group chat, oh boy, do Sparta B look bad going forward. They got better as the game went on. to the last 15 minutes, I think, you know, Sparta B were quite good. But by that point, game was over, you know? Mm. So it's a, so it's a very comfortable 3 points.
Yeah, we did that. And then we're gonna very quickly talk about the Mole Cup game, which
also
happened.
Actually, just to spare other goalkeepers' blushes as well, I forgot about this, is that Daniel Curl should really save the Vahoshek's the 3-0 goal.
Oh yeah. Like, again, another sort of near post.
Well, he has control of the ball and it wiggles under him.
Yeah, wiggles under him. Again, like,
bizarre goal.
Yeah, not a powerful shot, near post, thinks he's got it and it's just not there. Yeah,
the
whole shot
looks kind of embarrassed that it goes in even, but like, you know, he'll take it.
We had a sort of FA Cup, Mole Cup game against Hranac Kralove, and we just sort of got found out, really.
When the dust settled, when the fog dissipated.
There were a few players missing. Svarček started in goal. Vedral reappeared, as did Blecher and Cronus, who are not normal starters. And Benny Kanakamana also starting when he doesn't normally.
Yeah.
And Mick van Buren took us to pieces.
Mick van Buren is still a good player.
He is. Big old balding man. To be fair, it was 0-0 until the 71st minute. And former Czech international Vladimír Darida had survived an absolute assault on him by Filip Blecher.
Has that been looked at, do we know?
I don't know. But if that tackle that wasn't a tackle that broke your rusty boy's leg is a 10-game ban, he's going to be banned for about 3 years.
Yeah. I think I was quite flippant about this at the time, because I didn't go to the stadium to watch this. I actually had a darts match on in Blansgow that I had to play at, but it was on the telly in the pub, so I was watching it, and I thought at the time it looked okay.
Probably not.
No.
Oh, you can feel the crunch when the heads come to. Oh God,
like breakfast cereal.
He was replaced after an hour, Blecher, by Chavosh, who is, by the way, such a step up. Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
Oh, you won't hear me complain.
We kept a clean sheet until the 70th minute, but Dominik Svarček really, really, really helps to make it 3-0. The first goal is sort of bundled in by Van Buren from a corner.
That felt like just like one of those goals.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that was. But 90 seconds later, Van Buren uses some genuine skill to flick the ball between two defenders and dink it over Svarček, who is so far out of his goal, he's almost run past his own centre-halves.
Yeah.
And is already on the ground. I don't know what's going on there. And he's at fault for the third two, which is...
Which is hilarious,
by the way.
What's he doing, though? Like, he's...
Basically, it's a long ball out in search of anybody. Van Buren's chasing it, but not with any kind of intent, really. It's a long ball out towards the corner flag. And Svarček decides to sprint out of his box, attempts to kung fu kick the ball, misses completely, and allows an incredibly surprised Van Buren to sort of calmly just knock the ball over a backtracking but incredibly isolated and helpless Chavosh.
It's so strange.
Into the net. Like, it's insane.
I mean...
Yeah, we need a second goalkeeper, basically. We need a cup goalkeeper,
We sort of do, right? But it's also just
I don't know what's happened to young Lichtenberg there. I don't know whether he was on international duty, maybe.
Yeah, did he not? I don't know what was... Yeah, I don't know what the thing is. Also, I mean, if you are, you know, in that position, right? Look, I mean, it's very obvious that unless something... happens, like an injury or whatever, that you are going to not get a game this season because Adam Hrdina is, you know, streets ahead of you, right? Despite, again, you know, there being problems with Adam Hrdina in some respects. So this is your against a reasonably full strength Hradec Králové side, I believe, because obviously we're at the end of the, you know, the international break and all this sort of stuff. It's your chance to sort of shine, isn't it? It's your chance to sort of say, hey, look, I mean, I deserve to be here. I want to put my mark on it. Well, you did put your mark on the game, actually. Let me take that back, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
So it's tremendously disappointing.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the end of this season so far. We will have some podcasts in the off-season, by the way. Not necessarily on Sprovka, but various bits and pieces that we've got coming together.
We need to do that quiz.
We do. We need to do that quiz. We've got three or four ideas and people we'd like to talk to. Anyway, we've got three more sections. We'll leave the second quiz till the end,
sure.
I think, to make people stick around to answer questions who might not otherwise be listening. We've got Beer of the Podcast, and we've got Ange Watch. Do you want to do Ange
Watch? Let's do Ange Watch.
Okay, let's do that first then. Here we go.
Ange Watch, Ange Watch. Ange Watch, Ange Watch. Ange Watch, Ange Watch. Ange Watch, Ange Watch.
Ange Watch.
What's this section about, David?
It's about Sprovcast's very own Ange Jar Jar of Fisher FC.
Yes.
And how he's doing.
Well, I believe.
Yeah, not too badly, actually. I've made, like, single-line notes for every game he's been in so far.
Oh, excellent. Good, because I haven't. I have to do a lot better.
This was your idea.
It was my idea.
Right. So
I've been very stressed recently, David. I've had so much things on, you know, so this is, you know...
So many things on.
Forever in my heart. How's Big Ange doing?
He's
unemployed,
not,
no.
Not that Big Ange. After we left London, his next game was a 3-1 loss away at Corinthians with a booking for protesting.
Is that Corinthian Casuals?
They were just called Corinthian. I didn't see any further.
Okay, because I think it's is it not Corinthian Casuals? Like that cult non-league team.
They might be another one, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But either way.
Write in if you know, because I've not got my phone in front of me.
Then a 1-0 win away at Sutton Athletic with the match report describing Ange Jar Jar and centre half partner Don McCauley as imperious.
Lovely
at the
stuff.
Central defence.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
And you've always had an eye for a player, David.
Yeah. He was at the back in the next round of the Challenge Cup. He was the only remaining member of the previous back four to play as Fisher FC won 6-0 at home. Yeah. Le Bosch. A 2-1 loss to league leaders Whitstable Town.
Respectable.
Because I never want to be the Whitstable. They. Then they played Balham in the FA Vars third round.
In front of a bumper crowd, I believe, for this
one. No, that came later. But Balham, beating Balham meant it was Fisher's first time ever in the FA Vars third round. And our boy Ange gave away a penalty. Brackets, saved. Yeah.
It's a team sport.
It is a team game. They then went on to win 2-0 against Chislehurst Glebe. And Ange was, quote, successfully marshalled the usually prolific Jamie Philpott. So that's good. And then defended very well against regular partner Don McCauley, who was back after family matters in a 1-1 draw against Bearstead in front of a record league crowd of 432 at home on one of Fisher's community days.
Excellent, yes.
So there you go. So, you know, a mixed bag, but overall, our boys...
Winning matches are doing
quite good. Our boys
doing
well.
I'm a following on socials. They are looking like they're playing reasonably well as well. A good feeling in Bermondsey.
It's all of the vagaries of non-league, though, isn't it? You know, sometimes people can't make it. Sometimes people don't turn up. You've got cup games against people who are far better, worse than you. Sometimes you're against, you know, in front of crowds of, you know, 400 odd, sometimes it's, you know, under the lights in
Absolutely.
Front of 50 people. But, you know, our boy doing his business.
Blows my mind how me and you, David, are personally responsible for this excellent cup run.
We certainly are, yeah. I mean, I can't think of any other way that this would be interpreted.
David, you cut me and I bleed.
Fish.
Omega 3? Like In all jokes aside, jokes are never aside, we look forward to coming back to Fisher FC in the new year.
Yes, and we will keep you updated the next time we do an episode of Ange Watch.
And watch.
Beer.
Of the podcast.
Oh, thanks, David. It was my turn to bring a beer into the studio.
Studio. My house.
Yes, and I didn't know what our schedule was going to be over what I am calling to upset nobody the festive period. So, our friends and yours...
Utter woke nonsense now.
Do you see Right Said Fred on Twitter's kicking off over Christmas cakes?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
In that spirit, David, our friends at Mazak have brought out Vanochny Punch.
Good.
Christmas Punch Gosa.
Right, okay.
And this was a last minute decision. You were going to get a Christmas stout, but I thought, okay, I'll be nice. Gosa, this one is coming in at 6.2, so quite,
ooh, heavy.
Quite a heft, yeah, on it. But hey, treat yourself. It's Christmas!
What was that? Who's that supposed to be?
That'd be Noddy Holter.
It really, really wasn't. It's Christmas!
Marge Simpson, yes, impression of Noddy Holder.
Can you chop around this?
Bab. A sniff.
Yeah.
That does not... Well, it suggests punch to me, but not the...
Yeah. It's not a particularly heavy flavour. There's some kind of fruitiness to it.
Tizer notes to it? I'm red. I'm Tizer head. Fizzy. Refresh your head. Remember that?
No.
You don't remember the old Tizer adverts? No. Tizer sponsors CD UK. No?
No.
Cheers.
Bye. That's quite nice, actually. I quite like that. There's something...
I'm less enthusiastic.
There's something sort of curiously refreshing to it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is.
I don't know if it's just my taste buds are sort of dead right now. It's sort of...
Were you thinking it would be slightly heavier? From the looks of it,
yeah,
it feels like it should be like a thicker taste to it.
Yeah.
And it's quite sort of fruit... Like,
I'm not getting much fruit. I'm getting sort of McEwen's Export vibes.
No.
Really?
It's... To me, it's like slightly weak, kind of like supermarket own brand Ribena. Uh-huh. So there is fruit, but there's an awful lot of wateriness to it as well.
Hold on, I'm going to do that thing that wine tasters do.
I need to get a spittoon. You're not gobbing it all over my floor.
No, I'm swallowing it. Don't clip that, please. No, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it so much. Not for me, I don't think, this one. Which is weird, because usually a Gus is at the top of my list.
Mm.
With a crafty beer. But if you like this, 155 crowns.
That's not bad.
For 750ml.
Yeah,
all right,
that's,
you know,
fairly standard.
But they have got... and maybe we do this, David, even as part of a Christmas special sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they've done something like 5 different Christmas beers.
Oh, nice.
So there's like a Christmas lager, a Christmas APA, a Christmas stout. We just get all of them in and just get...
Just do loads of sections split by a beer every time.
Just get busy with it.
Get busy!
We've got one more section.
We have. It's a quiz for you. Hooray.
And that.
No.
Can't. Next.
Bye.
Hey.
Okay, it's Quizmas time again.
It's Christmas.
You have a quiz on World Cup minnows.
Oh, no.
Which is actually relatively similar to,
oh, okay,
to yours, actually.
Gettable.
Yes, gettable, right. Definitely. Five questions, and it starts with the first question, yep, which is this question. When was the last time Haiti qualified for the World Cup?
Uh-huh.
And I actually gave you the answer earlier on, accidentally, because I forgot this was a question.
1982?
No.
I could not remember then.
Do you want to have another go?
No.
It was earlier than that.
1960 would have been my actual guess, but...
1974.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Question two. If he plays at the World Cup, and he almost certainly will, Diego Pico López will become the first player from which league to play at the World Cup, and for which nation?
This is Republic of Ireland and Cape Verde.
Yeah, so which league?
League of Ireland.
League of Ireland, yes. And Cape Verde, yeah, very good.
Plays for St. Pat's, maybe?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because yeah, that's a one hell of a stat on that one, eh?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That was what a week he's having, by the way. Mm-hmm. Because it was qualifying for the World Cup, having a child, and possibly winning the league in the same week.
That's crazy.
An absolute what a week he's having, by the way.
Which one of those would you drop if you had to? I'd choose the child.
Physically?
No. I realise, David, unless you do certain edits, I have upset significant demographics in this podcast, which is maybe why we'll be away again for a few weeks.
It's just, you have no idea, listener, how much I've edited previous podcasts. I've just left a lot in this time.
The trick is to say you're prejudiced against all races.
All right, question three. According to the official... Here we go again. According to the official All Whites website...
So, some sort of South African web server, is it?
There are two... It's the New Zealand national football team, people. There are two players regularly in the New Zealand squad who play in Scotland. George Stanger and Elijah Just.
Mm-hmm.
Which two teams do they play for?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. Elijah Just. Elijah Just plays for St Mirren? No, he doesn't. He plays for Motherwell.
He does, yes.
He plays for Motherwell. And the other boy?
George Stanger.
Does he play for St Mirren?
He doesn't, no.
No. I'm gonna have two more guesses.
Right, fine.
My immediate my immediate thought was something like Saint Mirren or like Livingston or something like that. Livy?
No, but it's one of those sort of
Premiership.
Yes.
Oh, I should really know this stuff. Kilmarnock.
Yes.
Oh wow, okay.
There you go. One of the countries making their debut will be Jordan, as we've previously...
It's not their debut, is it?
Oh, no. Okay, well, maybe...
Well, I've got it wrong, actually. Well, I usually get things wrong. Well, remember that quiz I did?
Okay, maybe that was my mistake. My question was, two of the countries making their debut will be Jordan and Uzbekistan. What are the capitals of those countries?
Amman.
Yes.
And Uzbekistan... Oh, because it could be one of a bunch of them, right? My initial thought was Tashkent.
It is correct.
Okay, good.
Okay. And finally, question five. What links the nation who topped their group after drawing with Jamaica to qualify for the World Cup and their manager? There is a specific thing.
Yes, I know this exactly. This is wonderful here. So the country is Curaçao.
Yeah.
And then the manager is former Everton and Rangers manager Dick Advocaat. So they're both alcoholic liqueurs.
Yes.
Excellent question, David. Very excited by that.
I was really pleased with... Was that a thing?
No.
People, I'm sure, had pointed that out, but I only realised that today, and I was really pleased with myself.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. I'm pretty sure I looked at who the manager was and go, oh, that's him from Rangers, rather than actually making the connection. So
yeah, I was really pleased with that, so there we go.
That's crazy. No, you're right, David. They are making their debut, so as usual, I flunked a question.
Never mind. Excellent. Right. That is...
And you know what? And I hope you've listened to the end of this before. Write in your messages, write in your tweets. Sam, you got another quiz question wrong. I know. I'm addressing the situation now like a grown man.
I'm addressing the situation. Are we going all over here? No.
Please, sir, can I have some quiz? Next time, child, next time.
Anyway, that'll be us. That's the first half of Sporovka's season done. We're doing quite well.
Yes.
Yes. Right, and we will be back with you over the...
over the festive
interminably
period.
Interminably long winter break with a couple of quizzes, some sort of historical bits and pieces, hopefully an interview or two if we can get them together. But until then, thank you very, very much for listening wherever you are in the world. Thanks.
Na dálku jak s robotem. Bye. Zase utekl týden, ozýváš se tepotem. Ruce pálí, srdce pouchá, asi se ti rozsypu. Ty jsi v dálce a já pouhá hříčka svých střeštěných snů. A taková už jsou slanou. Vychr se stromem v noci bezesné často stáváš se mi příbojem. Zítra přijdu, budeš králem, čekej v našem azylu. Svět se zbordí a my dále budeme litovat zdrů, kdy ty jsi byl tam a já tu. Ty jsi až tam, lásko, já zase tu. Ty jsi až tam a já zase tu. Každý zvlášť a každý sám. Zase se mnou točíš, má lásko, a je teprv pondělí. Dokola a na ruby a zpátky, copak jsme to věděli?
Copak jsme to věděli?
Ty jsi slýchal moje touhy jenom někdy z rádia. Pro mě byl jsi jenom jarní fén a já netušila, že tahle ta tlaň bude tvá. Ty jsi až tam. Steve!